Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Declaration of Dependence. And it's interesting to me that a lot of our lives are spent, even as kids, it happens pretty early on, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, the old I can do it by myself. And it's this almost immediate attempt to be completely independent. I don't need anybody. In a way, I really don't need God. I can do it by myself. And we declare these things, independence. But if you look in the scriptures, and ultimately where I hope we all end up at some point in our lives, and unfortunately it takes us a long time and a lot of battles and a lot of challenges and a lot of just willpower struggles with God, as it were, the ultimate battle, where we finally declare a declaration of dependence on God and say, you know what, I can't do this by myself, and I do need you, and I can't fight these battles alone. Let me read you the difference between independence and dependence. The definition for independence is the state of or quality of being independent, freedom from dependence, exemption from reliance on or control by, self-subsistence or maintenance, direction of one's own affairs without interference. And in so many words, when it's independence, we say, God, leave me alone. Or to anybody else, leave me alone. Stay out of my business. It's none of your business. It's my life. It's my control. I can do what I want to when I want to. Isn't that what freedom's really about? I had a seminary professor who had a deep voice and talked pretty slow, kind of a Moses-sounding thing, whatever Moses sounded like. But he would say to us occasionally throughout the process, he'd say, there is no freedom without responsibility. And then people talk about freedom, and I can do what I want when I want to. The second you have freedom, you have responsibility, or you lose that freedom. So on one hand, independence is that. Listen to the definition, a few of these definitions for dependence. The act or state of depending, state of being dependent, subjection to the direction or disposal of another, inability to help or provide for oneself. You say, well, I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to be dependent where I cannot provide or help myself. That sounds like somebody in a nursing home somewhere. That sounds like an invalid. That sounds like a cripple. That sounds somebody who's mentally not capable of taking care of themselves. You say, well, I don't want to be in that category. At some point, sooner or later, you've got to stand at least before God, not that you're physically not capable, emotionally not capable, mentally not capable, but you stand before God and you say, God, I am as dependent on you or I should be as if I were crippled, invalid, or just dead, to revive me, to give me life, to live the way you intended for me to live. And another dictionary described dependence as the quality or state of being dependent, reliance, trust, one that is relied on. Now, hopefully by the time we get done here today, maybe you've never done this before, but hopefully what you will do is, whether it's out loud or in your heart somewhere here today or beyond, you make a simple declaration of dependence. And you say, God, I have fought you. I have done it my way. I've given a little bit to you and taken it back, but I'm telling you, I'm coming to completely rely on you. Now, what have you got to rely on him for? If you look at Job, if you want to turn there, Job 13:15, there's a verse, and Job is a fascinating study, because if anybody had depended on God, and what got Job in trouble was depending on God and trusting God, and God picked him because of his relationship with him, he had lost all of his children, all of his cattle, all of his possessions, his houses had caved in. I mean, Job was a mess. He was covered now with boils from head to toe. His three buddies we talked about the other day had shown up and were sitting there with him for a week. And you get into chapter 13 in the dialogue between Job and God and Job and his friends. And Job finally just says in verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Job depended on God so much that he said, even if he kills me, even if he takes my life, which he felt close to it, I'm sure, even if he kills me, I am still going to trust him. Now, that is dependence. That is relying on God, where you're relying on God completely to do everything and on yourself for nothing. Now, look at Psalm 18 with me, beginning in verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. There was a moment in time when David had been delivered from all of his enemies, and he had some enemies. In particular, Saul, the king that preceded him, who, if you go back and read, I think it was 13 or 14 years prior to David even becoming king, actually, he was anointed. He was promised. He was blessed. The prophet came, poured oil on his head. He got picked, and everybody knew it. And then he got chased from then on for years. Did not have a throne, did not have a palace, had to live in exile, and had a band of about 600 ragtag troops that went with him, and just the outcasts of society. I mean, he had lived a hard battle, a hard life before he actually became the king. And going through all of that, God providing for him, protecting him, preserving his life literally through many of these situations, all of a sudden it's lifted. You know, it's not likely that at this moment in time, all the planets have lined up or something the way you see it. You think, I got no troubles. There's just peace in my life, my house, my wife, my kids. Everything's perfect right now. Maybe it'll change tomorrow, but for right now, it's that way. Everybody's got stuff. Marriages have fallen apart. They're on the verge of falling apart. People who want to be married can't find anybody. They're on the verge of compromise. Just take anybody that comes along. People under unbelievable financial strain. They've still got enough clothes, they can afford the dry cleaner to get their shirt starched maybe and come out and look presentable. But under that are credit cards and debt that's just continuing to soar. They don't have any food in the refrigerator. They look like they're healthy. Everything's okay. But there's economic stress, emotional stress, spiritual stress. About to give up on God. They've prayed. They say, you know what? I'm not Job. And if he doesn't do something quick, I'm out of here. And maybe they wouldn't say that to you to your face, but deep down inside, that's where they're feeling. And the enemies have not been defeated, whatever the enemies may be. And it doesn't mean a physical enemy sometimes. Sometimes it is economic. Sometimes it is emotional. Maybe it is a person actually in your life. And the good news is that sooner or later, maybe it's death itself that will deliver you from your enemies. But there is a day coming, guys, when if you're sick, you won't be sick anymore. And if you're poor, you won't be poor anymore. And if you're blind, you'll be able to see. Whatever it is that's ailing you or me, one day it's going to be gone. And sometimes it happens in this life. And when it does happen in this life and you have literally been delivered from whatever it may be, a song, if you have a relationship with God and you know where your deliverance came from, something happens. And it is one thing to say, wow, God, you're good. But sometimes there's nothing but a song that'll cure it. Sometimes there's something that wells up in you and you can't just speak words. You got to sing words. You got to stand up. And I think something happened here to David in the midst of his trials. He had trials before this psalm and he had plenty of trouble after it. But for a moment in time, God came through in a dramatic way. He had been delivered, as it says, from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And this is what he came out with. Verse 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Where does he start? It's not with just the facts of being delivered and who the enemies were. It is an emotion. It is a feeling. It is before God saying, God, I love you. Why? Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, my strength. Now, are you your strength or is he your strength? You say, well, of course he's my strength. No, I want you to cut this frog up a little bit. Look inside and say, okay, really what's going on? Not do you know what the right words, the right thing to say are, but at some point you stop and you say, either I really trust God or I don't. Could you say with David, I will love you, Lord, or I love you, God, and it be from your heart, not just words, but genuinely from your heart, God, I do love you, and I know you love me, and I know it's going to be okay, and I know it is okay. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Is he truly your strength? Look at verse 2. The Lord is my rock. If you don't know this or not, this verse 1, 2, 3 in here are basically his declaration of dependence. After the fact, But you don't get to this place of being able to say this after you've been delivered if it hasn't been true before you were delivered. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Is he your rock? Is he your fortress? Is he your deliverer? Not you. You say, well, God's not coming through. I'm going to take care of business here. I'm going to fix the situation. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm tired of waiting for God. I'm going to take matters into my own hands and fix this. And usually when we try to fix it, we really what? We fix it. And now there's more problem to solve. And now we've really got to go to God. You know what? Start here. Don't end up here. The Lord is my rock. A solid place, something to build on. My fortress. What is a fortress for? A place you go hide. We run to everybody else on the planet but him. Pick up the phone and call people, and I'm not against that. A declaration of dependence. Sometimes if you're dependent on God, you're going to end up dependent on other people and be a part of a body and a community. Somebody goes through a tough time, we rally, we get around somebody and help them. So we do depend on each other, but ultimately, it is the Lord, and he's used the word Lord here twice. It's one thing to call him God. It's another thing to make him Lord. Lord means boss. He's in control. You're dependent upon him. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He is the one that's going to have to deliver me. He's the one that's going to have to get me out of this fix, deliver me from whatever enemy it is. Are you waiting on him to deliver you? My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My God, it's personal, not just God, my strength in whom I will trust. Now, I want you to sit there while we go through this today and identify what you could say is your enemy. What is your enemy? What's the challenge? Is it economic? Is it kids in trouble? Is it emotional? Is it your job? You say, well, it's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay in your case? Where are you going to run? Who's going to deliver you from the situation? With David, it was personal. It's my God. It's my strength. He's my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. My. At some point, it has to be about you. It has to be about you personally. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield. The horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And then in verse 3, he says, I will call upon the Lord. Now, this may sound very simplistic, and you say, well, duh. The last thing that we usually do is that. We try everybody else, everything else, and then finally we say, okay, I will call upon the Lord. Now, look what's going on in verse 3. You call upon the Lord, but what is part of this calling the Lord? You call upon him because he's worthy to be praised. A lot of the problems, whether they go away, either God changes your situation or he changes you or me. But when I call upon the Lord and realize he is worthy to be praised, sometimes just praising him and going to him and realizing how great he is and how insignificant and small I am, I go, my God, literally, my God, if you can't take care of this, there's no way it's going to work. You are great. You are awesome. You did make everything, or at least all the supplies that we seem to put together. If you can't take care of me, I'm sunk. So God, I'm going to quit worrying. I'm not going to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I'm going to make my request known to you. And I know then that I've really done that. Why? Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keeps my heart and my mind. And I know I really trusted you because all of a sudden there's peace. So I must be trusting you. Another declaration of dependence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I'm going to make a practical suggestion for you this week. If you get in trouble, call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And you'd be amazed at how your enemies either disappear or the threat of that enemy dissipates because you say, you know what? Compared to my God, you got nothing. And you can chase me all you want. You can threaten me all you want. But this God is going to take care of me the way he has, he is now, and he's going to from now on. And all of a sudden, a song will well up in your heart. And pick one of them, whether you can sing or not. People talk on their cell phones, on speaker phones. Looks like they're talking. They won't know what you're doing anyway. Just start singing and start praising him and thanking him for what he's done and who he is. And not for what's not going on, but for what is going on. And ask him whatever you need to ask him. But you know what? If you start doing this, you'll find you're not asking him for stuff. You're telling him how great he is. And all of a sudden, the things you thought were so insurmountable and impossible, he kind of says, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. You know that once you get focused on him. Look over at Psalm 91, verse 2. In the context of him being a fortress, a rock, a refuge, the psalmist in 91:2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And the word here used for trust means simply to trust, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold. And the last one in this definition says to be secure. All of the worrying in the world is not going to fix it. Communicating about it will, having a plan will, but where, where's it going to go? Where's it going to come from? I get freaked out a little bit myself, and you know where I go to? I go to my buddy who's in Liberia today, hiding out in an orphanage somewhere with his wife, where there's no food available. We can't even wire money to buy food, where he has to calmly, one day at a time, and where he has in the past been in refugee camps and literally gone out every day looking for wood that day to build a fire if they can find food. And he's lived with nothing. And he knows where it's going to come from every time it comes from somewhere, that God is providing for it. And I say, you know what, God? If you can do it for him, I bet you can do it for me right here. And I'm not going to waste my day worrying about this stuff, because all my worrying is not going to make it come through anyway. So, Father, I trust you, and I thank you, and I praise you that you haven't forgotten about me any more than you've forgotten about him. And you don't love him any more than you love me. And you're going to take care of him. You're going to take care of me. And it's going to be okay. Now, does it mean you can't be concerned about your life? A bunch of women about to have babies who've never had babies. And what's it going to be like? And what's going to happen? And will I be a good mom? And will I be a good dad? And is it going to be okay? And will there be all the toes and fingers and all the stuff? And we worry sometimes. And God says, you know what? It's not your baby anyway. It's my baby. It's not your life anyway. It's my life. You think you made this child. I give it breath. I give it life. I'm going to have to sustain it from now on. And I can do that. Trust me. And we start to give it away, and then our heart, you know, the devil says, well, what about this? What about? And finally say, you know what? Here, God, here's all the whatabouts. I don't want to do this anymore. I trust you. My declaration is that I depend on you, God, completely. Look at Isaiah. You go to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day you will say, now this is Isaiah saying something's going to happen, and in that day you will actually say this, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Either you or your deliverer or he is. Either you or your own strength or he is. And all this crap out there about, you know, just get in touch with the God that's within you. You got no God within you unless you invite him in there. If you're looking for God within you, there may be a God, little g, in there, and you're in trouble if you're dependent on him. You better get you a big G God inside of you that can handle this stuff and get some truth inside of you and read these scriptures and read these psalms and say them back to God and say here what Isaiah, the passage, is saying. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Literally get this stuff printed out, put it on your mirror, in your car, memorize it. And when you get attacked, you confront an enemy with scripture. I will trust and not be afraid. God, that's what I'm telling the devil. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Now, guys, either this is just words on a page or it's really true in your life, and it either works or it doesn't. And I'm challenging you to make it work. And I'm going to challenge you this week, the rest of this day, to do a practical thing as a declaration of dependence. Sing. And every time you get hammered, sing. Some song, a song that God puts in your heart. And if you got to make up the song, a lot of people will open the scripture to some passage and they start making up their own song. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be musically inclined. All you got to do is mean it from your heart. And I'm telling you, it is impossible to praise God and worship God and worry at the same time. If you are singing to him, if you are praising him, if you are worshiping him anywhere, anytime, any place, it's like the devil says, I am not staying for this. The devil cannot stand to hear God's people praising God, and he just tries to swallow us. He just tries to consume our lives with distractions so that our lives will not be worship toward God, and we will not take the time to worship God. And it is not about Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or wherever you go to church. It is about being the body. It is about being the church. It is about doing it anywhere, anytime, any place. And you can't tell me it doesn't work unless you're doing it. You know it does. And if you're not, you can't say it doesn't work until you try. Get a song in your heart. Isaiah here saying that literally, Yah, the Lord is my strength and my song. He is your song. One more passage, John chapter 15, verse 5. This whole passage, Jesus is talking about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Basically, you're not going to make it unless you're connected to me. And he simply puts it this way in John 15, 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, in other words, connected, he will bear much fruit. And then the last phrase of this verse is huge. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what are you trying to do apart from him? And is it working? All the worrying isn't going to fix it. Only trusting. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Yeah, but you know what? It's me and God. I'm going to do this, and if he wants to pitch in, that's great, but I can do this. I'm a man. I'm strong. I'm independent. I can do this. And God says, you know what? I'm going to keep tugging on that rug till you fall on your butt and realize it's me and not you. How much is this going to take? How much more button heads have you got to butt heads with God before he wins? And you just finally, I tell people, you got to say uncle before you ever say father, and realize he's got to win for you to win. Without me, you can do nothing. So what's your problem? What is your challenge? What's the enemy that faces you day after day after day? You say, God, I can't beat this enemy. I've been trying all these years. So I'll tell you what, I'm declaring my dependence on you, and you're going to have to intervene and do something because I cannot do this without you. I admit it finally. I cannot win this battle, whether it's sexual, whether it's addiction of some kind, chemical, drugs, whether it's greed, pride, gossip, whatever is on your list. You say, God, I cannot do this. I declare my dependence on you. You're going to have to do something that I can't do. And then watch how he does it in your life.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
A lot of people's problem, it's not about some kind of vice, some kind of specific sin. The problem is they will not declare their dependence on God in terms of eternity. And they say, well, sure, I'll let God pitch in again, but you know what? It's about me, and I'm a good person, and I've been nice to people, and I've given money to charity, and you know what? God owes me. And finally, you also get to the place, you say, God, you know what? You don't owe me jack. You don't owe me anything. And I realize that I have got to completely depend on what you have done for me, and that Jesus lived a perfect life, God and a man lived a perfect life, died on the cross in my place to pay my way, shed his blood there to provide forgiveness of my sin, was buried and raised from the dead. And God, I realize now that I have nothing to do with it. I depend completely on you to rescue me, to be my deliverer from my sin, my past, in a hell-bent life. You're going to have to rescue me and put me on a rock, on a solid place. God, I need it. And it's not me anymore. It's all you, none of me. Come get me, God. And I put my hands, my life, everything I have in your hands, and I depend on you completely. A declaration of dependence eternally, a declaration of dependence for abundant life, if you're a believer, over whatever your challenge is. And I would recommend somewhere, there's something about saying some things out loud. It's kind of like a guy saying, well, she wants me to tell her I love her all the time. I told her when we got married. What does she want? She knows I love her. You know, sometimes it's hearing the words, and you get in a closet somewhere by yourself and say, God, I've said it in my heart, but I'm speaking these words out loud. I love you. As David said, I love you. And I'm telling you, these are all the things that you are in my life. And you've gotten me this far. You're carrying me through the day, but I'm trusting my future into your hands. Not just my life, but my eternal life. It all belongs to you. My declaration of dependence.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.